Hallelujah. Well, I know it's church time and supposed to be solemn. I've been trying to get settled down and holy. You know, I feel like shouting. I don't know what it is. I feel like victory going somewhere to happen. I feel like running. Glory to God. We're getting close to something. Hallelujah. Just stand up for a minute. It's Jesus! Hallelujah! Jesus! Jesus! Our King, our Victor! Hallelujah! You are the Victor! You are the Victor! You are Lord Jesus! We win in Jesus' name! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whew. Okay, be seated for a minute. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think heaven's going to be a lot different than religion thinks it's going to be. A place of happiness and joy forever. And victory, peace, goodness, and everything that's good. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Okay. Message. Well, Sunday morning we talked about two kingdoms. And the New Testament describes them as the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Tonight, we're going to look specifically at that kingdom of darkness a little bit. Because our job really is to overturn the works of darkness everywhere we find it. And let's talk about it for a little bit. Let's jump off at the same verse where we did last time. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Tell you what, you keep hanging in there now. You're going to be, as Dave would say, you're going to be one happy camper. You hear me? You don't even know what fun is yet. Till you just get exhausted because the prayer lines are so long. And your body gets tired, but your spirit man just keeps on going because there's another child with blind eyes about to see. There's another one to get out of St. Jude's Hospital. There's another one to get out of the Children's Hospital. I mean, we're about to have some fun. Like's not been seen around for about 2,000 years. Well, it's going to happen. That's right. Let's start here in verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, and that means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, and he hath, past tense, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, boy, it's hard for me to leave that because it's all so good right there, but that's a jumping off point. Number one, if you're a believer, you have already been delivered from the power of darkness. Now that word power there is, the Greek word is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And what it means is darkness has no authority over you. You got that? Now, if words mean anything, it did. Darkness had authority over you. And I was just meditating. Let's just think about darkness and light for just a minute now. Do you ever go into a lit room and turn on the dark? Where is that dark switch anyway? It's too light in here. I need to turn on the dark. Isn't it interesting how it says it? The authority of darkness? Because really darkness doesn't have any authority. Really it doesn't. Darkness is just the absence of light. And get this. Darkness has no defense against light. You ever go into a dark room and flip on the light? And the darkness resists. Now, the Bible, it's using darkness and light for a reason. He's trying to teach us some things. Kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. And what's funny, even though darkness of itself has no power, light can eliminate darkness. You can take the tiniest little candle and you can light a dark room with it. Now, you could bring more light, but I mean, it's enough for you to function. Just that one little bitty candle. And the darkness, as much as it wants to, darkness has no authority over the light. No matter how bad it wants to put it out, It can't put it out. The only way darkness has authority is if you yourself are darkness. Be careful, Jesus said, that the light in you is not darkness. See? Well, that darkness is a type of sin. It's a type of death that entered into man by sin. The only reason that the devil has any authority at all is because darkness, let's say death, let's say a sin nature, came into man. It was never God's plan for Satan to have any dominion whatsoever on this planet. None. He made Adam to be, could I say it this way? You already know, he says, let him have dominion over the work of my hands. Now, wouldn't that make Adam lord over the planet? Wouldn't that make Adam the god of this world under God? That was his original plan, was for man to be lord of the world and to rule this planet under God's authority. God never intended for the devil to have any authority here at all. Man had to open the door through disobedience to let the darkness in. The light had to go out. In other words, it's a bigger problem than just forgiving Adam. Adam was changed. At his very core, he went from light. We know that man was made in the image of God. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. When God breathed life into Adam, that nature of God that came into him, it was light. And there was no darkness in Adam at all. You got that? None at all. His choice, though, the free will choice, God doesn't make, he could, I guess, but he's not interested in making love robots. He doesn't want to make robots press the button, I love you, God. Press another button, I lift my hands. I love you, God. Press the worship button, I worship you. He's not interested in that. You know what God's interested in? Children. Amen. That love him of their own free will choice now. That's what God's interested in. I already told you about how Lily set me free already. Our little Lily, 18 months. She taught me perfect and a perfect offering to God. Here, Papa was sitting in his chair and Lily's toddling around the house. I just love how she toddles anyway. She kind of does this when she toddles, you know. She's toddling around. Boy, she could toddle quick, too. You got to be quick when that girl sees something she wants now. Anyway, Sue had given her a banana and she had it about half peeled. She's walking around. She's just enjoying it. That girl loves bananas. Now she's enjoying her banana. And she walks inside of Papa. And I'm just sitting in my easy chair. And she looks at Papa. She looks at that banana. Looks at Papa. And goes. Just held it like you want to. Just held out that banana for me to have a bite if I wanted it. A free will love offering. She wasn't claiming a hundredfold return. She wasn't sowing her best seed to meet her biggest need. She just wanted to share something she had with Papa. Now, Papa's heart, oh, what do you want? Do you want a pony? Everything I have, everything I will have is now yours, you know. Well, that's what God wants. He's wanting people that love him. He created Adam and Eve with a free will choice, and that's why he will never override that free will. And again, Pastor Dave, I never will forget the first time I heard him say it. If God was ever going to override your will, anybody's will, he would have overrode Adam's will on the way to the tree, wouldn't he? So if he didn't override him there, he's not going to override yours now. And that's why he gave Adam the choice. He says, I give you everything, only this one thing, just this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. Everything else is yours. But there had to be something. Well, here comes darkness. Darkness comes to tempt Eve. And he starts casting doubt on God's word. Did God say? By the way, that's the only way that he ever defeats any of us. We've been teaching on the authority of the believer. how we've been, for example, how we've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Where is that seat? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And we're going, yes. And you don't make five steps out of here towards your car till the devil goes, now, God didn't really say that about you. You don't really think you have that kind of dominion. You know who you are. You remember that argument you got in the other day? You remember that, how you lost your temper? You remember that? You remember how I've been telling you to lose 1,000 pounds and and you sneaked in that slice of pizza anyhow? You know, I saw you eat that pizza. In other words, he does everything he said, everything, anything he can use to say, did God say? Did he say it really? He's always coming against God's word because he is darkness and God's word is light. He has no defense against the light. The only thing he can do is get you not to believe the light. Believing the light is how you flip on the switch. And the darkness has no choice. The darkness has to go. Well, in any event, going back, originally what God planned for man to rule and reign on planet Earth under him. And to do it correctly, do it righteously, honestly, and have children and populate the earth with children in the image of God. Hallelujah, wouldn't it? We have no idea what this planet would be like. On the way over here, Sue was taking I love my wife. I do. She loves me too. She fixes me pork chops and everything. It's wonderful. But anyway, I'm like a little puppy. I'll follow her anywhere. She fixes pork chops. Anyway, life with Sue includes, no matter what the weather's doing, it can be freezing, it can be rain pouring down, it can be ice pellets hitting on the car, and she goes, look at that sunset, and the window comes down. 70 miles an hour and the cold air is in there. Look at that sunset. She's hanging out there taking pictures, you know. Well, that beautiful red sunset, the only reason it looks that way is because we live in a fallen world. We don't even know what the planet was like. We don't even know. I mean, there wasn't any such thing as rain. You know? Who knows what he really has in store for us? I mean, I look at it, you say, well, I don't want to lose our sunsets and everything. I look at it this way. If this fallen planet can be as beautiful as it is, what do you reckon he has in mind for one that hasn't fallen? Oh, my. So she'll be hanging out the window all the time with the camera. Anyway. Well, that was God's original plan. Well, here comes darkness. Adam had to open the door. The darkness could not overpower him. Adam had to flip. There was kind of, if you'll allow me, a switch of darkness. And it's when on the inside, Adam made a decision. And he chose darkness over light. He chose what his five physical senses saw over what the Word of God said. He chose the doubt that the enemy placed there instead of what God had said. And he chose. That's how you flip on the switch of darkness. You choose to believe the darkness. That's good stuff, Brother Gary. Continue. I think I will. Well, what does the devil think about all this? Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4 just for a minute. He lined up a few scriptures for me. But we're going to mainly stay on the macro tonight instead of the micro. And so we'll have it in context. Let me read verse 3 with it. Verse 4 is the one I'm after. It says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, it's not just that Satan esteems himself to be the God of this world. Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he flat says, Satan is the God of this world. Who is he the God to? Tells you right there. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It's the whole fallen species of Adam, those that are lost. And it doesn't matter if they worship Buddha, Muhammad, or call themselves an atheist. If they've not been born by the Spirit of God, they are a child of darkness. And Satan is their God. He doesn't care what they call themselves. And he has blinded their minds. All right? So he's called the God of this world. Now, go to Ephesians 2:2. Now, this is our passage. This is where we've started, that the God of our Father would, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is that passage that we've been reading and reading and reading. It's the one that establishes not only the place of authority where Jesus has been exalted to, seated at the right hand of the Father, but then chapter 2 tells us we also have been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together with him. And that's all true. But now notice here, it also says something about the enemy. So chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, whereas in times past," now before, that means before you got born again, "you walked according to the course of this world." Well, how do you do that? Well, that's according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So we've looked at this in three passages. That kingdom of darkness, it says it has authority. We were delivered from the authority of darkness. There is authority there. Number two, in whom Satan is called the God of this world. And the Bible doesn't dispute that. The God of this world, not meaning the flowers and the trees and the plants and all of that. It means all of the lost people who are descended from Adam. Before they get born again, Satan is their God, even if they call themselves an atheist. You don't have to be a, quote, Satan worshiper for the God of this world to be Lord over you. All right? And in here, he's called the prince of the power of the air. If you look up that word air, it just simply means the air you breathe. It's the atmosphere that we're walking in. You know, the breathable air of the world. He's the prince of the power of the air. In other words, on this planet, anywhere you go, the Bible says he's the prince of the power there, prince of the authority there. All right? But now notice this. We hardly ever talk about this in that same verse. It says he is the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One thing you've got to remember, Satan is a spirit. That's why we're not going to major on it too much tonight, but we're going to piece by piece go through the armor of God, because that armor is spiritual armor. Too often we try and solve our problems with natural means, when really, if it's really an attack by the enemy, he is a spirit. He doesn't care about your lawsuit. Your lawsuit can't hurt him. Are you kidding? Your retaliation against your neighbor, he just revels in that kind of stuff. You know, really the only real thing that he's afraid of, the only thing he respects and the only thing he fears is the Word of God. That's why it's the only weapon Jesus pulled out when he went to defeat him in the wilderness. The only weapon he used. It is written. It is written. It is written. Adam should have said, "It is spoken." He didn't have it written. It is spoken. We're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if he'd have done that, he'd have run that. He said, "Now get and run that devil out of there." Is what he should have done. Well, if we're going to defeat the devil, we're going to have to defeat him in the realm of the spirit. This is where. I've got two trails I'm on right now. One is this on authority, but in order to walk it, he's also taken me through what we call the walk of the Spirit here. Because I'm telling you too much, Christians are walking by the soul. We're not walking by the Spirit. We're walking by, "Oh, let me figure out what to do. I need this, I need that, let's see. I need more money, so if you're a preacher, what I need is more meetings." Well, who told you that? But everybody tells me that. Well, what did God say? What? Aren't you supposed to be serving Him? Yeah, but I grew up in a denomination that said God doesn't speak today. I'd quit that denomination if I was you. He does speak today. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. What He hears, that's what He's going to show you. What do you mean, what He hears? Well, Jesus is alive and well. He's the head of the church. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a mind for this church. He has a mind for your family. He has a mind for your calling. He has a mind for you this week. He has a mind for you tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit's job is to bring that mind to us. Well, yeah, but you gotta watch those yabbits. Yeah, but everybody does it this way. Well, that's why you can't go to any church anywhere. No matter how much they love God, I'm not saying they don't love God. I'm not saying they're not on the way to heaven. They are. Sure, most of them anyway. But like, I got to see Lynn Perez again last week. Lynn, if you hear this, we love you. Tom. Tom fixed me some pork chops so thick, make you slap your mother. I'm telling you. I took a picture of it and brought it with me. I'll show it to you after the service. Those pork chops are 2 inches thick now. Tom, you're a good man. Good man. But anyway, we got to go visit her son, Tommy Perez. And he's got, I think it's cerebral palsy. It might be muscular dystrophy. But he's in his 30s now. And he's just so friendly. He knows you're there. Man, he'll take your hand still, and his teeth are kind of buck teeth, you know, and so he can't really give you a kiss, but he'll take your hand and hold it to his teeth, and that's how he kisses you. He's just so friendly, and man, everything in me wants to get him out of that chair, you know. I know if Jesus walked in there, He'd get him out, you know. But because all of the churches are saying, well, this is how you do it, you know, and you don't ask God, and well, there's not any church anywhere that I know of we can take Tommy. I'd pay the way. If I knew somewhere, we'd get him there. I don't know of anywhere we can go and get him out of the chair. Get him really restored like he should be, where he can stand up and talk to you and say, hi, Mama. Let me get up there and preach. I'm going to tell him everything Jesus did for me. Now, well, that's going to be some good days. See? But we can't do it like everybody else is doing it and expect to get there. We're going to have to find out from Jesus himself how to do this. So that's why we're walking this path right now, this walk of authority and then also the walk of the Spirit. Can't do this with the walk of the soul. Our enemy is a spirit. All of these programs devised by man are not going to affect him. Well, what do we do then? Well, I'm just meditating again on this today, praying, listening. So Satan, he thinks he has authority. He esteems himself to be the god of this world, and don't you forget it. And he esteems himself as the prince of the power of the air. So what is the god of this world accustomed to? He's been watching mankind for 6,000 years now. He's been watching Christians for 2,000 years, you know, since Jesus. So generation after generation, let's talk about in these last 2,000 years. What's he really accustomed to? What's he used to seeing, Christian or non-Christian? Then I just wrote down a few things. Number one, he is used to seeing man unable really to walk free from sin. He's used to hearing it spoken in churches. You're still just an old sinner, saved by grace. You have to sin. Now, thank God for the blood, and we do. But the end result, they leave you with the impression, which they left me with for years, you can't really walk free from sin. And Jesus preached the opposite gospel to that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you look in the context there, he was specifically talking about walking free from sin. But the devil, what is he accustomed to? What is darkness used to seeing, even amongst Christians? Well, he's used to watching selfish ambition consume our lives. Always a little more. Doesn't matter whether you're working in the secular world or whether you're working in the, you know, you got a ministry now. If you think there's not competition out there amongst ministries, most of them, yeah, I don't find any here. But boy, out there, you think they're not after the biggest mailing list and a little better airplane than you got and a little better this and selfish ambition. Not even to mention most Christians, now again, not necessarily here, but most Christians giving their lives for a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. He's used to seeing unforgiveness and strife, dividing families, dividing churches, separating even close friends. People get so hurt and wounded then that they put up walls. Not going to let you get very close, you know, because the last guy I let get close, or girl, about ripped my heart out. So he's used to seeing people get cynical as they get older and kind of calloused a lot of times. Instead of being a love magnet that draws people to Christ in you, he's trying to get us to put up walls so we ourselves don't get hurt. He's used to seeing greed rampant, resulting in lives bowed down to mammon. Or on the converse side, religion convincing humans, sons of God, that he's so miserly he doesn't want them to have anything. So they bow before mammon and try and get permission to do anything for God. Neither way, the devil laughs. He's used to watching as religion places heavy burdens upon men's shoulders. You remember what he said to the Pharisees? You're those guys, you the ones, you load men down with burdens, and you wouldn't use even your little finger to try and help lift one. Well, that's what religion does. It just bows you down, no matter what you do. I was counseling with somebody yesterday or day before. This person is a young person. They could be giving their life to the world. And they've moved halfway across the country to attend this church because they want to give their life to God. And yet the devil's condemning them because they're not praying enough. You need to read Dave's letter again. The devil's a master at condemnation. If you pray 5 hours, you're going to hear you should have prayed six. I fasted for 40 days. Should have fasted 41. I was in the Word, you know. I shut off everything just in the Word for an hour. What'd you do with the rest of your day? Here, a girl who most girls that age and pretty and attractive, you know, they're just their universe. It's all about me. The whole universe exists for them. You know, my dresses and my makeup and my boyfriends and my car and my this and my that. None of you ever, I mean. But, you know, the whole universe is all about me. And here this young one has got enough hunger in her for God. Moved halfway across the country. Took a job working in a kitchen at a restaurant where it's hot. So she can be here and find out how to give more of her life to God. And she thinks God's condemning her? See, this is what the God of this world is used to. This is what he's accustomed to. He is accustomed to nobody ever turning on the light. nobody ever disrupting any of his work, and he'll just continue to steal, kill, and destroy because nobody's able to stop him. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus came for the express purpose of stopping that rascal. Not only stopping him himself, but then, if you'll allow me, propagating a new species of human, all of whom could do exactly the same thing he did because they'd be anointed by the same Holy Ghost. Now that's God's plan. And it is so opposite from what religion has taught us. What's the devil used to seeing? What is the God of this world accustomed to? I thought about it during Jesus' time. Well, he's accustomed to, you know, a woman that's been bowed over with arthritis or whatever it was she had, some kind of degenerative spinal disease, something. Bowed her over for 18 years, and he's, what's he accustomed to? By golly, they'll stay bowed over till they die, too. How about a man born blind staying blind? That's what he's accustomed to. A man born lame, he stays blind, stays lame. That's what he's accustomed to. See, and the thing of it is, if all we look at is the natural world around us and history, even of the church, we're going to get accustomed to those same things. Because that's what you see everywhere. If they're born blind, they stay blind. If they develop some kind of spinal disease and get bent over, they either, you know, maybe they can have an operation and it'll help them some, but usually they get worse. But that's what we're accustomed to, too. And it's hitting me more and more strong. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. There's only one place to look to see what God intends for us. Looking unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the first one. We can learn some things from Moses and Abraham and David, and we can learn some things from them, but they're not the author of our faith. Only Jesus is the author. He is the beginning of our faith, the species that we belong to. You want to see what he intends for the prayer center and specifically for you in the prayer center, or let's just you in your ministry, wherever you are, you're going to have to look to Jesus. Because now suddenly we have a man once more after 4,000 years on the planet who was not born with any darkness in him at all. He was born of the Spirit of God. He was born of light. John talks about that in the first chapter. What is it? In the first chapter, John talks about that. Dave loves it when that happens. The light comprehended it, not the light. Who is that? That's that life. That's Jesus. That life, it shined. That light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it, you know. And that boy, the devil, you think he didn't notice when that light showed up? You can't sneak light into a room. You can't sneak light into a dark room. Everybody will notice. Everybody will see the light. Well, they might not comprehend it, but boy, the devil knew, uh-oh, this deal's on. Because now, Jesus, the day he gets baptized by John in the River Jordan, and I've taught this so many times, I'm just going to say it like you already know it. That was more than just a baptism. He didn't get baptized to have his sins washed away. That was really coronation day, if you want to know the truth of it. When he was laid down under the water, He wasn't going to be on the cross for another couple of 2 or 3 years. But this was like a promissory note. Father, I know why I came. I know I came to die. My vow to you, when John lays me down in this water, I'm vowing to you. I'm going to go all the way to the cross. I am going to die as a substitute for Adam. So from God's point of view, when Jesus was laid down in that water like a grave, the gavel came down and says, Adam is dead. I'm looking on the heart. My son is going to do this. He's really going to do this. I count it as an already accomplished fact. When he was laid down, Adam was dead. But when he was raised up, now that's Jesus' faith. Father, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. I am trusting you to raise me again from the dead. That's a type of him in the resurrection. The firstborn from the dead. And from there would come a whole new species. All right? Well, So the gavel comes down again. The first Adam is dead. This new one that's raised up, I'm free to give him dominion. I declare him this now. This is my beloved son. Let him have dominion. That's what is meant by the Holy Spirit coming upon him. That dominion that was first given to the first man, Adam, now has been restored to the last man, Adam. Acts chapter 10 tells us how God anointed Jesus of, this is the very event, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? See now, looking unto Jesus, what are we supposed to be doing? This is the author of our faith. This is the beginning. You want to see what we're supposed to be doing? We got to look at Him. He came. The light has come again. He says, now, you can be born of that same light I'm born of. The life that I have in myself, when you get born again, you can have that same life in yourself. And you go from darkness to light on the inside. You're regenerated. And that darkness has no authority over you. Just like you can't walk into a light room and switch on the dark. Darkness cannot overcome light. Get it straight. You're the victor. The devil's the one supposed to be trembling when you walk in the room. He has no authority over you. That's what it means. We have been delivered from the authority of darkness. He has no switches to flip. You can't flip a dark switch and put out the light. It has no authority over you. None. Glory to God. It's good. Yeah, but he took my job away. No, he didn't. No, he's seeing if you'll be moved by that. Who do you think your source is? I thought it was where I work. No. My company shall supply all my need according to their Wall Street rating. Is that what it says? My God shall supply all my need. He's got a job for you. He's got a path for you, whether it's a job. He's got some kind of, say, oh, I'm going to go in ministry. Honey, that's a job. Sue can tell you. I set it to computer, what, 12 hours today, I think, working on the taxes. Oh, no, I just want to lay hands on the sick. You get to do that too, but honey, you get real. Sue will be in there and say, boy, you look nice when you come out. That's because Sue slaves in that laundry room in there getting all the laundry done and buys these clothes too. You think I have taste? I don't know. You'd be scared to see what I'd walk out here in. When Aaron was living with us for a little while, it'd be a Sunday morning, I'd get all dressed, I'd go pick out something, come in. I'd be walking out in the living room and she'd see me and she'd just put her hand up. No, Daddy. But what? But what? She wouldn't even explain. No. Just go in there and put on something else. No. I have no taste. It takes work. You got to do all the natural things. You got to do all that. But we're talking about finally taking up our position. Let's really start looking at the author of our faith. Let's let religion go. Let's just look unto Jesus. What are we supposed to be doing? Well, He is the author and the developer of our faith. Now, everything that the devil has grown accustomed to, we're going to disrupt all of that. I'd like to start with this one. How about a church? And when I say church, I don't mean just this physical building. I mean everyone that hears these messages, everyone who is attached here. I mean, you could live anywhere in the world and you're as much a member of this prayer center as anybody sitting here. How about the devil? You want to give him a big headache? How about him see a whole group of people who walk free from sin? Oh, he'd go, I've never seen it like this. Well, he saw it once. And I imagine the 12 did a pretty good job. You know, Jesus, you don't believe me? Do you? He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. He said the servant, he doesn't abide in the house forever. But the Son, he does. Well, we used to be slaves to sin. Just servants of the Lord. But he says, I'm going to make you free. See, you can't do it. The man could never have done it on his own. The Jews proved that for hundreds and hundreds of years, trying to keep the law. They loved God. They really did love God, and they were trying to keep the law. Couldn't do it. Why? Darkness on the inside. But Jesus has come to give us that same life He has. You are light. That's why He said about Himself, I am the light of the world. Did you know He also said about His followers, you are the light of the world? Now, He knew right at that moment they weren't, but He also knew after the cross they'd have the opportunity to be born again. The life that He had in Himself, they would have that same life in themselves. See, we've got to look at this overall thing. What is this all about? What is God up to? Well, there's two kingdoms operating on planet Earth right now. The Bible talks about it, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We used to be in that kingdom of darkness, and while we were in it, it had authority over us. We tried not to sin, and you couldn't help it. What you were eventually would come out again, no matter how hard you tried. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what religion has taught us, and no matter what your past experience has taught you, you are light. You are children of light. You have been born again, and darkness has no authority over you anymore. He has no dark switch to flip on you. You have a light switch to flip on Him. That's why it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Glory to God. Well, what if we upset His apple cart, and we have a whole church that walks free of sin? What if He finds a whole group of people that selfish ambition cannot control anymore, whose lives truly belong to the Master? And that doesn't mean you won't be running giant corporations, but you'll be running them under the guidance of the Holy Spirit as He receives instruction from Jesus Himself. Wouldn't that be in something? Boy, the devil wouldn't know what to do with that. A church with money that used it for the lost. My goodness, wouldn't that be something? What about where unforgiveness and strife, in other words, other words for darkness? What if your nature had actually been transformed to the nature of Christ? And you weren't trying to forgive. You just forgive. Because that's who you are. And you love that person so much. I mean, Jesus loved them enough to die for them. What if there was a group of people that could not be separated by unforgiveness and strife? Talk about the devil's worst nightmare. See, I keep seeing the ripples in the pond. Now, I know Dave was really teaching us about worship when he uses that. But I'm seeing it also now. This gospel shall be preached first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. His dominion starts with us. We got to walk. Listen, when we get to that armor of God, we already know. Dave's already taught us eloquently what that belt of truth is. Yeah, you need to know the word. You need to know the truth. But how you put that belt on is you quit lying. Well, if that same thing applies all the way through there, how are you going to put on the breastplate of righteousness? I know He is your righteousness. But if we're going to put on righteousness, like put it on the outside, that's when His righteousness takes your life over. You know what I'm praying right now? I'm praying a lot of things. I want to hate iniquity. I want to hate it in every form that it comes in. I'm tired of my flesh liking stuff that He don't like. Now, I know my flesh isn't going to really be redeemed until then, but it says about Him, you have loved righteousness and hated, not disliked, hated iniquity. I'm saying, God, if that's part of the nature You put in me, it needs to come a whole lot more to the outside than it is right now. I mean, if You hate it, I want to hate it. If You call it if it's like a rattlesnake to You, I want it to be like a rattlesnake to me. I don't want to be wanting something that You hate. I think that's a good prayer. I think it worries the devil that people would pray like that. Because most of the church world would be, got to try and be nice. Like Alan says, I'm trying to be nice. Alan, I love you. Can you tell? Praise God. I love you too, man. Oh, anyway. I'm so happy tonight. I'm just trying. I'm trying to be. I'm being nicer than I feel. I feel like shouting and running. Hallelujah. I'm barely containing myself here. I see good things on the horizon. All right? A people free from greed. Oh. Well, there's no greedy preachers out there, is there? The devil is accustomed now to anybody that has any power at all, just anything at all. Sell their prophecies for $300, plastic wallets for $100, you know. And he's also used to the sheep being so gullible and untaught that they'll fall for it. And he goes, these are the ones that's going to disrupt my kingdom? Ha, ha, ha. It is to laugh. Well, women bowed over for 18 years looking unto Jesus. What did he think about that? What did he think about that? Did he say, bring it? And I'm not against doctors. I'm not. Listen, I'm for anything that keeps us alive long enough till we believe. Can I say it that way? Keep me alive long enough till I believe. Okay? I take the aspirin. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed. Hallelujah. Come out here and preach or whatever I got to do. Till the day comes, I don't need anything anymore. Amen? Jesus did not say, call the physicians. See, and he knew that was a spirit. I don't believe all sickness and all that. I don't think it's always a demon or, you know, necessarily. But I think it's all because of the fall. And I think we can all, I think we can be free every single time. One time it didn't say it was a demon. It said he rebuked the fever. And in the Greek it actually says it. The subject being the fever, it, like it had a mind, left. Spoke to a storm. And the storm said, whoops, quiet. We're just in the very outskirts of understanding the kind of authority we've been given. And we're going to have to get free of religion to operate in it. Free of religion now. Amen? Jesus walks up to that woman. Now, if he'd have been churched like we've been churched, well, it's probably due to some great sin. She's probably in some kind of unforgiveness or strife. I'm thinking right now about the one that was let down through the roof. You know, he couldn't even walk there. His friends let him down through the roof. Jesus comes over to him and says, well, what's easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk. But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Take up thy bed and walk. Then he tells this guy, like he told more than one, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. There are times when those things are the result of us turning off the light and letting the darkness come in. Can I say it that way? But there's other times when it's just a flat-out attack of the devil. You just rebuke it and it goes in Jesus' name. But see, Jesus didn't say, well, now go repent first and then I'll heal you. Did you notice that? He always healed him first. I'll heal you. I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. I like that. You know what that tells me? Every person that comes should get healed. First time. Every time. No exceptions. And if we need to tell them by the Spirit of the Lord, now go and sin no more, then we'll tell them that. But let's tell them that after we get them healed. Amen? Hallelujah. I like it. I like it a lot. Gary, you're only happy because the devil just leaves you totally alone, doesn't he, Brother Gary? He never bothers you at all. Now get real. Go to 1 John 1:5 for a minute. Y'all getting anything out of this? See, I think sometimes we have to back off and look at the big picture. I'm trying to give you enough scripture here, but, you know, teachers, we tend to sometimes get down into the we want to dissect the sentence and then get the Greek definition and then you get the Greek of the Greek, and pretty soon you're so down inside the verse, you go, now why did we start studying this verse? I'm going, now what is this all about? Oh yeah. We're supposed to walk as Him, talk as Him, act as Him, and have the same results He had. Where do you get that, Brother Gary? As He is, so am I in this world. The works that I do, shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Amen? All right. So 1 John 1:5 said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When you got born again, God breathed life into you. It's just like, it's just very similar to in the garden where it says he made the man's body and then he breathed life. He breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. Listen, we all died at that cross. As far as God's concerned, we're all deader than a doornail. When you got born again, it's though by the Holy Ghost, Jesus came, the second man, the last Adam, picked up your dead corpse, if you'll allow me, and breathed of His own nature into you. Now that part of you, the Ephesians tells us that that new man that we're supposed to put on, he is created from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness. That means in your spirit is light. There is no darkness at all. How do I say that? Gary, now there's lots of darkness in me. Not in your spirit. Now your soul might be carrying all kinds of trash. And the trouble is we've been walking by that rascal. And really, in a way, you have to. I mean, Romans 12 does say, you know, if we're not going to be conformed to this world, we're changed by the renewing of our mind. But that we've been trying to renew the mind in order to change our walk from the outside in. And really, it's as the Holy Ghost nurtures and matures and causes that new man on the inside to grow up, that really righteousness and putting on that new man comes from the inside out. You're already light on the inside. Well, if God's in there, you are. Because in Him is no darkness at all. Well, how much darkness did He breathe into your spirit when He breathed life into you? There is no darkness in there. Man, I want to leave you with this picture again. I'm hearing Him say, this is enough now, because He wants to leave you with these kind of images. One more time. You can't walk into a lit room and flip on the dark switch. If the light is on, now the devil can come and he can do his best to find a dark switch, something that he can flip that'll put that light out. No, there is no such thing as a dark. That's what it means. You have been delivered from the authority of darkness. You are children of light now. He has no switch. He has no authority. There is nothing He can do to put out the light. He has no authority over you at all. Well, it seems like He does. All kinds of bad stuff's happening. Have you seen my car? Have you seen my house? Have you seen my kids? All kinds of bad stuff. No, He's trying to get you moved by what you see. If you keep the switch of faith turned on, let's say the light turned on, no matter what you see, you keep saying what you know is right, you keep doing what you know is right, you're going to resist Him in the faith, and He is going to run like the scalded dog He really is. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, we are going to become this people that put on the whole armor of God. His righteousness. That's all Him. We're not going back under the law. Trust me. That's been tried for thousands of years. That's not going to work. I thank God for this message. It's the only thing I've ever heard that gives me any hope. Where the righteousness I have received free by faith, it's already mine by faith. Positionally, legally, in God's court, I've already got it. But this message is the only way I know to bring it from the inside to the outside. Where I can yield myself like the potter's clay. I can just put myself like clay in His hands and just pray in the Spirit and meditate the Word and let Him begin doing the molding and the shaping so that when it gets done with me, when I walk out of the room, He says, huh? The devil goes, I've seen that before. Because I'm wearing the armor. I look just like Him. He goes, I've seen... Oh, uh-oh. Here comes another one. I've seen one before like that. Now, there's only one Lord. You understand where I'm going with this? But as He is, so are we in this world. I don't care what the devil does. He can't put out the light. He has no authority over you. We win. We win. You hear me? We win. Everything that's happened of recent is to get us discouraged, quit, stop, do anything, go back to the first church, be a nice little Christian, just try to make heaven now. We're going to make heaven. But I'll tell you what, I want to overturn some money changers' tables. I want to straighten up some bowed over women. I want to see some blind kids see and the lame walk. And I want to see some of those maimed made whole. I want to give the devil a headache for a change. How about you? Now say it with me. God's Spirit is in me. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. In the Spirit He gave me, there is light. No darkness at all. The devil is darkness. He has no authority over me. I have authority over Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on till we're walking in this. Amen. Sue, they haven't heard you pray, baby, in a long time. Would you come dismiss these people? Isn't she pretty?
Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you for speaking through my husband tonight. I just appreciate everything that you're doing, Father. I thank you for just helping us to walk, to see more clearly who you've called us to be, who you've made us through the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and your plans for our future. I thank you, Father, just that the people go in peace, that they hear your voice daily, every time you speak, Father, and that they obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. They pray when you say pray. They worship when you say worship. They speak when you say speak. And they speak your word over the city, over their families, over their friends, over their jobs. As you tell them to speak, so they speak, Father. They see what you're doing, and that's what they do. And they hear what you're saying, and that's what they say. Father, for all of us, we go in peace, surrounded by your presence. And we're just so thankful, Father. Just bring us back safely. Keep our families safe, too, in Jesus' name. We just appreciate everything. We love you, Father. And thank you, Jesus. You are Lord of this city. You are head of this church. You are head of the prayer center. We thank you. Amen.